And we're back to the Dialect Coach's Corner podcast with Eugenio Derbez. Eugenio, now, you're a funny guy. I don't know if people know this, but you are the voice of the donkey.
Yes.
In Shrek.
Shrek, yeah. Actually, if anyone has the DVD, you just need to switch to Spanish. It comes in any DVD in America. There, go to settings, then change the language to Spanish, and that's me. I'm Donkey. Donkey's voice for Shrek 1, 2, 3, 4.
You actually talked about some of the differences and some of the changes that you made in doing this particular voice. Talk about that a little bit, because it speaks to some of the differences between English and Spanish humor.
Yeah. Well, in Mexico and Latin America, they never allowed us to touch anything on the script. Say it the way it is, and that's all. And I was like, but wait, this joke is not going to be understandable in Spanish if I say it this way. Can I do this? No, you're not allowed to touch it. I dubbed a lot of stuff before Shrek. I dubbed a lot of stuff in Spanish, but it was just good, but that's all. And when finally Shrek came to Mexico, I remember having this meeting with these people, and I said, well, and they said, we want to do something new, and we want to make this a huge success because it's something different, it's a great project. And I said, well, if you're really interested, you should consider making an adaptation for Mexico and Latin America. I mean, I'm not going to change the script. I'm just going to put a lot of stuff, some stuff there to make it funnier. And they said, okay, let me ask. So they went to Jeffrey Katzenberg, and he finally said yes. So I was supposed to adapt, not only do the dubbing, but adapt the script for Latin America. So if you hear the Spanish version of Shrek, is very different from the original one. And I have the newspapers where Katzenberg said, it's the best dubbing I've heard in my last 25 years of career.
Wow.
He said that. And he said, I don't know what happened, but I think it's funnier in Spanish than in English because people laughs more, even though I'm not understanding.
Yes.
People laughs more in Spanish than in English. And I said, yes, it's because they're laughing with a script that is already funny.
Yes.
But I added some funny stuff to the script. So the Mexican version of Shrek has more jokes than the English version. So it was a great, great, great challenge for me.
How did you look at it that was in a different way?
I'm going to put an example. There was a part where they are torturing the ginger cookie. They are telling, you have to tell us where is the... I don't remember the story quite well right now, 10 years ago. And she said, the muffin man that lives in Drury Lane, that it's part of a song here in the U.S., I think.
Yes.
So, kid's song, something like that.
Yeah, do you know the muffin man, the muffin man, the muffin? Yes, it's
nursery
rhyme.
And in Mexico, we don't know that song. So when I heard that, I said, like, why is the cookie saying this? And they said, it's a kid's song in the U.S. And I said, okay, I need to change it because usually we just need to translate the same words.
Yes.
Now we need to put the muffin man that lives in Drury Lane in Spanish.
Yeah.
And people is going to say, I'm not getting it. I don't know what he's saying that. So I put a Spanish kid song that we used to make kids laugh or sleep or whatever. And I changed the song for a Mexican one. It says, Pimpón es un muñeco. It's like, Pimpón es un muñeco muy guapo y de cartón. Se lava su carita con agua y con jabón. We did that, and the cookie was saying, Pimpón es un muñeco muy guapo de cartón. Se lava su carita con agua y con jabón. So it was way funnier than just translating the joke. I added a lot of funny stuff from my characters also. So it was quite different, but it was very, very successful. Actually, it was completely new for the Mexican audience to finally watch a film that was dubbed in our language with our own words, with our style.
You did the entire
adaptation series for the four of them. Yeah.
Just want to take a moment to talk about theatrical style films in Mexico. First of all, since you've had a chance to watch it over the years with your mother, Have you seen a strong change in theatrical style from when your mother was acting in films to now? And if so, how would you describe the difference?
Usually in Latin America, we use a different style. We're like broader. We used to exaggerate things more in Latin America than in the US. I have both styles. I have some characters that are over the top, that are really extravagant.
Yes.
And I have other kind of stuff that it's more like measured, like the USA style. You guys are very like natural. And when we think about comedy in Latin America, we need to be like loud and wow, 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 wow. Right now, I started doing that kind of comedy in my beginnings.
Yeah.
But now I'm like changing. I'm not liking it anymore. It's weird. Right now, I've been watching a lot of comedy stuff in English. I don't like it anymore. So I've been changing my style lately.
Is that something that could work going back and doing Latin American characters?
Both things could work. Bringing some of that acting style to the US or bringing some of the US style to Mexico, I think it could work in both countries. They need to get used to, but at the end they're going to find it funny. In both ways, it's just different. You need to get used to.
Yes.
It's not that this is better than this other.
Yes.
It's just that it's different. It's two different ways of telling a joke, two different ways of shooting a film or shooting a TV show.
Mm.
But both ways are funny. Both works, but you just need to get used to.
Is there a strong system for training actors in Mexico?
Not really. I think that's one of the problems we have in Mexico. We didn't have a good school like you have here in the US.
Mm-hmm.
There are some of them, but usually, and that's a pity, a lot of the Mexican actors are like, I'm talking about TV actors especially,
mm-hmm.
they are just beautiful, and that's all what matters in TV in Mexico. You need to be handsome or have a good body or be beautiful as a girl, and they don't care if you are a good actor or actress. We have just like a couple of good schools. I mean, if you think about acting, you usually think, if I'm going to be a great actor, I have to go to the US to study.
What about Spanish poets? Who are some of your favorite Spanish poets?
Wow, I don't read a lot of poetry, but I like Amado Nervo. Mm. I like Salvador Novo, Octavio Paz.
Do you have any kind of a short snippet from a poem that you sort of keep with you and that you could recite?
A little bit. I'm going to tell you this because my mom was very... She usually used to say that to me and my dad. Hombres necios que acusáis a la mujer sin razón, sin ver que sois la ocasión de lo mismo que culpáis. That's from Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz. She was a nun,
mm-hmm.
and she wrote this because she was a revolutionary. So she said, men are always trying to get laid with women. They are always pushing and pushing and pushing. And when they get laid with a woman, she's a whore. You know what I mean? And she was writing that stubborn man that you're always pushing us to sin, but you don't realize that you are the reason of what you are blaming us to do. Something like that. You get the idea?
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
I like it. It's a very smart poem from her, Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz.
Your mother sounds like an extraordinary woman.
Yeah. Yeah, she was very, very funny, and she was the best mom ever. And even though she was working all the time, 24/7, she was always there for us. I remember her awake until 3 a.m., 4. I mean, she never slept. She was always awake, working, because she was doing our homework with us, or cooking, or taking care of my dad, or whatever. And at midnight, when we were already sleeping, she was studying her scripts.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the only way she could do both things, take care of her home and take care of her career.
And what did your dad do?
My dad was a publicist, but I didn't understand what was that until I was like, what, 20-something. I just went to my dad's office always, and I see a lot of desks. I know that he was advertising products, mm-hmm. but I didn't get how beautiful is it being a publicist. Right now, I love it, but when I was a kid, I was like, my dad's work is really boring, and my mom's work, it's really fun. Yeah. So I preferred always to go to the set with my mom than go to the office with my dad.
Now, I must ask you, you had an opportunity, I believe, to work with the great Sylvia Pinal?
Yeah.
What was that like?
She was same age my mom, more or less, and but she's still alive. Sylvia Pinal is one of our biggest divas in Mexico. She's like all the big stars worldwide. She's humble, she's nice, she's a great actress, she's a great woman, and she has a great sense of humor. Mm. When I've worked with her, she's always saying, do whatever you want, make fun of me. You can do whatever you need in order to make a good sketch. So she's great.
So what advice would you give to another actor coming to the United States who's wanting to break through? What advice would you give that person?
Well,
you're doing it very successfully thus far.
Well, let me tell you my story really quick. Since I was a kid, I remember watching the Oscars every year with my mom by my side. And since I was like 8, 9 years old, I said, Mom, I want to make movies. I want to tell stories. Mm. I want to do that. Pointing the TV screen, I will be there receiving an award. And she was like, yes, I would support you, whatever you want, go for your dreams. I started taking dancing lessons, singing lessons, because I wanted to come to the US and work here since I was a kid. Mm. But then I left my dream aside. You know, I get involved in a lot of stuff in Mexico.
Become extremely successful.
I became successful, but at the same time, I forgot my dream when I was a kid, that coming to the US to succeed. I forgot my dream that I told my mom. When my mom died in 2002, next month after my mom died, I received a call from an agent saying, I'm calling from blah, blah, blah agency, and I want to represent you in the US because we're interested in you. I was like, that's weird. Why? So I went to the US, I meet this guy, and a lot of things happened from that moment. So I think my mom, I truly believe this, when my mom died and she was up there, she said, remember your dream. The last play she did when she was alive in Mexico, it was called The Way to Broadway. That was the name of the play. So she dies, and then I remember this guy calling me. So I went, had this meeting, and I started taking English classes. I said, the first thing I need to do is to start learning English.
Yes.
So I went to Berlitz, and my teacher told me, have you seen this play that it's taking place in the Cornet Theater in La Cienega? I was like, no. Oh, you should go because it's about Latinos, actors, it's comedy, it's all your style. Mm-hmm. So I went there. I met a guy that knew me. They presented me with the director, and they were offering, if you want to be part of the show, you can come here. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. I went back to Mexico and I said, I can't do that. I mean, I don't know how to speak English. I mean, kind of know, but I'm not able to be on a stage and doing a monologue in English.
Yeah.
So I was really afraid, but I was in my head, it was thinking and thinking over and over, maybe I should do that, I should do that, I should force myself to do that. So 1 month later, I called them back and I said, okay, I want to be in the show if you let me. They said, okay, perfect. They sent me 4 monologues and I start learning them as a parrot. I mean, I didn't realize, yes. Because there were a lot of things that I didn't even understand. I said, actually, this is not funny. But I memorized them, I nailed the text, and I went back to LA and I started doing this. Every 2 weekends, I paid my flights, I paid my hotels, I paid my everything.
Yes.
They don't even pay me. And I started doing this for 2 years, two and a half years.
What was the show?
Latinologues.
Yes.
They were called Latinologues. Well, I don't know what happened, my dear Jerome, but after doing this for 2.5 years, paying myself my tickets, my hotels, everything, just to be on stage portraying this, it was very hard for me. Now I know that I was mispronouncing a lot of words and nobody told me anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, but that the way it was. 2.5 years after that, we ended up doing a short season on Broadway.
Wow.
At the Helen Hayes Theater.
Wow.
On Broadway on September 2005. So I was like shocked. Every time after I finished the play, I went out of the theater and I stayed there for an hour watching my photo at the marquee. And I was really crying every night. I was not believing that I was there. And I remember being with my mom in New York, watching all these huge shows. And I was like, oh, it would be so great to be here. But I don't even realize I was going to be there. So that's one of my advices to all the actors that want to succeed is just you need to work a lot. You need to sacrifice a lot because I spend a lot of money during those years. I took the challenge and I nailed it and I memorized my lines and I went over and over and over. At the end, I was working on Broadway. And then same happened with my film. Nobody trusted on me as an actor in for films. I was just doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wanted to hire me as an actor for films. So I wrote my own film called Instructions Not Included.
Yes.
And it took me 12 years,
wow,
to finish the work. I ended up directing, acting, and producing the film. It became the highest grossing Spanish-speaking film ever in the U.S.
Wow.
And actually worldwide. And actually I wanted to put at the end of the film, and I wanted to, I didn't do that, but I wanted to put thank to all the people that rejected me.
Yes.
Because thank to them, or thank to you guys, I had the guts and the strength to write this film and doing it.
Yeah.
When everyone closes the doors, you become more strong so you can do your own stuff and you can write your own stuff. And I don't even know that I was a writer or a director, and I did it.
And that is a great lesson for us. And I so appreciate you being here on the Dialect Coaches Corner podcast to share that story with us. If we had a studio audience, they'd be on their feet right now, putting their hands together. Eugenio Derbez.
No,
thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. And my next goal is I have to learn English. So the best way is taking dialect coach lessons and classes and learning how to pronounce words. So that's my next goal.
We'll talk about it's that after
important.
The show.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it, folks. Until next time, thanks for listening in to the Dialect Coach's Corner podcast. Go out there, seize the day, and remember, the Communist Manifesto was not written by Harpo Marx.